Let's talk for a minute. About generating figures and tables and how to include them in documents. Probably you've already seen generating figures and tables is going to be a big part of most technical communication. Right? We talk through figures and plots and graphics and drawings as engineers. Right? So it's important that these are clear and high quality. Figures. When you're including figures in your document, the figure number and caption, a descriptive caption, goes underneath the figure. Okay? Figure number, descriptive caption, go underneath the figure. Here's a figure from one of my papers. Simple model of this pogo stick kind of robot thing we were looking at. Okay? If you have a more complex design, you want to label parts according to their function. So this is not carbon fiber tube, right? It's a 5 degree of freedom scan arm, right? Label it according to its functionality. For your spaghetti drawings, this is not spaghetti. This is a spaghetti truss, right? What's it doing? What's its functionality within the design? It's not bolt or not motor. What kind of motor is it? What is it doing? All right? You need to provide enough dimension to give scale, which I haven't done in this figure. Right? So for the drawings that you do in this class, we're not asking for detailed technical drawings. We don't need to know bolt size. But you do need to indicate to your audience how big the thing is overall. Right? It's 12 inches by 18 inches. Right? And they can get scale from there. Okay. Once you insert the figure into your document, you need to check all the text within the figure and make sure it is at least as large as the body text of your document. And that's the absolute minimum size you should have in a figure in your document. Right? Your document's chosen that body text size is the size that's comfortable for your reader to read. Shouldn't have any text smaller than that in your document, including in the figures. Okay? White or light backgrounds are generally best. So a lot of CAD programs like to export with some kind of gray gradient behind it and stuff like that. Get rid of that. All right. White backgrounds are best. You also, when we talk about the figure number and descriptive caption, you want to generate those in the document preparation software, not in the drawing software. Okay? So you insert that. Within Word, you can right-click and add caption. You know, drop it right below it. All right. Add them in the document preparation software, not the drawing software. Okay. And kind of the secret here, particularly when you're talking about a design, is the better your figures are, the clearer and higher quality your figures are, the worse your writing about that design can be. Because your reader is going to be able to look at those figures and kind of figure out how the thing works. Right? You can think about the kind of converse, I guess. If your figures are really bad and the reader has to rely on your text better be really, really good for them to be able to understand it. Right? So, again, the better the figures are, the clearer, higher quality your figures are, the worse writing you can get away with. So, how about this guy? Good or bad? Don't know what it is? Yeah, so you guys are picking up on it already. So I'm going to say mostly bad, but could be fixed pretty easily. So one, it has no labels. So there's nothing on this drawing that's labeled to tell us what any of it is. Right? There's no dimension to give scale. I don't know, is this thing a meter long? Is it 2 centimeters long? I don't know. Right, you can't tell from just that figure. Okay. I have a dark background. This might would be okay. Right. Was that?
3 point faded.
Yeah. And we have a caption that is not descriptive. So alternative design one is not really a descriptive caption. Yes.
So if we were to take a screenshot in like an AutoCAD, like I'm guessing that's from. It's okay to leave the shadow, so it's. Helping describe the three-dimensionality of it?
I'm going to suggest strongly, and you'll see I'll do it in a minute, to avoid doing screenshots altogether and to use proper export commands for a variety of reasons. The clarity of whether you include shadows and that kind of thing, it's a little bit subjective in that if it's obscuring what you're trying to show, then you need to get rid of it. Right. So it's hard to answer that with just a yes or no. Okay, what's good about this one? There are some good points to this drawing. It's detailed, maybe. I think in terms of, with some more labels, I probably could understand how this might work. Right. So in terms of the kind of drawings and concepts we have to generate for this class, it's in the right direction, I would say, if it had proper labels and that kind of stuff. Yeah, it has the figure and caption below the figure. Right. I would like to see the caption more descriptive. So rather than alternate design one, maybe it's cart and arm design is a more descriptive caption than alternate design one would be. The other big benefit I think here, kind of a good thing it does, is there's no kind of crazy colors in the figure. Right. So leading into that, how's this one? Better or worse? It's a lot better in most ways, with the exception of the crazy colors. Right? So you see that we've labeled things according to the function. This is the henchman gravity swing arm. Right? That part has you're telling it what the functionality is. Right? It has some things that are labeled not so well, like gear. That doesn't tell me anything about what that gear is doing. Right? Or DC motor. Where is it? I think I had DC motor somewhere. DC motor. What is the DC motor doing for this design? Right. I don't know. All right. What else does this do well?
Dimensions.
So we have enough dimensions to give scale. Right. So we know this is all 23 inches by 11 and a quarter. That gives us kind of the scale of the thing we didn't have in the previous drawing. So yeah, this is mostly pretty good. Get rid of the crazy colors and you're going to be most of the way there. And yeah, crazy colors, and some of the labels are too generic. Okay? How about this one? The series of three. Pretty good?
Pretty good.
Don't you agree? I think it's pretty good. All right, so we talked about the drawings, right? This is far from a CAD drawing. Right? It's pretty simple drawing. It's rectangles and circles for the most part. But these three together give us some idea of the functionality of this design when this labeled property and giving me proper scale.
What about, do you usually label things that like you can't see, unseen, big pieces?
I'm not saying this is perfect. It might be nice to have a view that shows the motor, right? Depends on how key its placement is to the functionality of the design, right? So he's asking a question about this thing that's labeled as unseen, right? If that was the placement of that and it was some kind of unique mechanism to your design, you definitely want to have a figure of it and a way to show it. If it's just the stock DC motor that's part of the kit, you might be able to assume that people know what it is and where it's going to be. So yeah, this is pretty good. I mean, this is the level. If you have this level of drawing with proper labels and dimensions, you're going to be okay for the drawings in this class. Right? This tells us largely how the thing is going to function, approximately how big it is. It's a functional level drawing of a concept. Right. Okay, generating figures. What you want to do, one of the key points is to use a vector graphics format. And I'll show you exactly what I mean by that in a second. So what vector graphics means is that actually the program or the file has within it that there's a line between this location and that location. Non-vector graphics or bitmapped graphics actually says these are the pixels what they need to be along the line. What the kind of vectored representation of the drawing does is let you scale in and out indefinitely and it still remain crisp. So for example, I managed to find a drawing that had a mix of the two. All right, so here's a drawing, and what we'll see, if we zoom into this guy, is that we can zoom in, and the drawing is fuzzy, right? But the text over here remains crisp. No matter how far I zoom into that, it's crisp. All right, in this case, the text was generated as vector graphics The drawing itself is not. It's not in vector graphics. It's a JPEG, probably. Right? So what we would like is for our drawing to be vector graphics as well. So no matter how far I zoom into this, that's still a crisp line. Right? So where that comes up is if you're taking a screenshot from your CAD program, it's going to be a JPEG or a PNG probably. Right? Those are bitmapped graphics. They're going to be fuzzy when you insert them in your document. And in particular, when you insert it in a Word document, Word will take that and compress it way down so your Word document doesn't get too big a file size. And now you have a JPEG that's been really heavily compressed, and you look like it's from a 1997 cell phone. All right. So vector graphics, right? So you want to be able to zoom in, and you see I can zoom in all day long, and that stays super crisp. All right. Okay. Back to the presentation. Where are we at? Vector graphics. And that's why we're going to avoid using screenshots. Right? There will be some time in your career where you can't get away from using a screenshot. The trick then is to make sure you have it on a basically large monitor. Zoom it out as far as you can before you take the screenshot so you're not taking a screenshot of a little tiny section of your screen. Right? You can sometimes get away with it, non-vector graphics, if it's a really big figure and you're scaling it down. But the minute you try to scale it up, or insert it in Word, you're going to be in big trouble. All right, because Word likes to compress things down on its own. Okay. The big key here is to check the quality of your drawing once it's been inserted in your document or presentation. Okay. So you can spend all this kind of time doing a great, great drawing in whatever software you decide you want to use. You have to check it once it's inserted in the document as well. All right. You have to check, is the text at least as large as the document body text? So depending on how you're scaling from what your drawing program into the document, that's going to change, right? And is that plot figure a plot clear without any compression stuff? So does it look like an old cell phone photo? Or is it high quality? So if you're thinking about, well, how do I make these kind of drawings? The one open source and free one that will be more than enough for what you need to do in this class is called Inkscape. There's versions for macOS, Windows, and Linux. Basically, it's a free open source clone of Adobe Illustrator. Right? But this will do that vector graphics for you, allow you to export in a high quality format. Right? Commercial options, Adobe Illustrator. I think as a student, you can get that pretty cheap. Adobe Creative Cloud, that'll be part of it. Both Sketch and Graphic on the Mac are pretty good. My lab uses Graphic for these kind of drawings. Have questions about any of those, just let me know. I can try to point you in the right direction. All right. Okay. Let's talk about plots. Another thing we're going to have, doesn't show up quite so much in this class, but will in your later classes, lab classes. Plots are like figures, in that they're figure number. They're called, it should be labeled as a figure. Figure number and caption, descriptive caption go underneath the plot. You need to make sure that you include units. You need to differentiate between lines, not just by color. Right? So I think the overwhelming majority of copiers left in the world are still black and white. So someone's going to copy your document at some point, and if your lines are distinguished only by color, it's going to be really hard for a person that has a copy of your document to distinguish between the plots. So my group, we do color and line style. So solid, dash dot, dots, dash dash, that kind of thing. Don't cover up any data with the legend. Your plot has a legend. And make sure that once it's inserted in your document, every piece of text on that figure, that plot, is at least as large as the body text of the document. Okay? And again, white backgrounds are best for plots as well. All right. So how about this plot? Good or bad? Bad. What's bad about this one? So I have no units, yes? Was that?
Vibration of what?
Vibration of what? Yeah? Yeah, so my figure caption is not really descriptive. Can anybody see this line right here?
No, I didn't even know.
Yep. So you and the guys on the front row can't see that one? All right, so these lines are way too thin. They're all solid lines. So if I was going to reproduce this in black and white, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference between them. Right. This is the default output of MATLAB. Right. Most plotting programs' default output is pretty terrible. Right. So pretty bad. Text, if we're using the figure caption as an indication of the body text size, would be too small. Lines are too thin. We can't distinguish between the lines. We don't have a legend telling us what those different lines are. Right? No units, and figure caption not descriptive. Okay. How about this one?
Much better.
So the lines are thicker. Right? You can see the lines even in the back, probably, hopefully. Right? We have a legend describing what the lines are. We have some kind of indication of units. Both of these axes are actually normalized units. So you kind of see that now, that it's a normalized unit there, normalized amplitude here. Right. So much better plot overall. Yes, sir?
Should you be able to see the peak on the...
Depends on your plot. So this one actually, with zero damping, that actually goes off to infinity. So I couldn't see the plot ever, see the peak ever. But yeah, it really depends on what you're trying to show. So, make sure you're distinguishing by, we have solid line, dash, dash dot, dotted. Right, so change line type. If I printed this in black and white, you still could see the difference. Writing about figures and plots, you want to include a number of the figures in the order that they're referenced in the text. So the first figure you talk about, whether it's a plot or a drawing, should be figure one. The second figure you talk about in the body text of your document should be figure two. All right? Similarly, you don't include figures that aren't referenced or you don't discuss in the text. Right? If they're not important enough to talk about in the body text of the document, they don't belong in the document unless they've been explicitly asked for. Okay? Make sure, like we saw in the last presentation, that you exactly match terms from the figure to that in the text. Don't make your reader or audience translate between the two. And you want to use kind of phrases as shown in figure X. Figure 3 shows, that kind of thing. All right. And you want to avoid this parenthetical citation. You don't want to do it that way. So going back to our figure, this is kind of how you want to talk about a figure. Right? We've has a front view of the Pac-Man device. It's built atop a wood base and uses two plastic rolling tires. So the text in my discussion of that figure exactly matches the labels on the figure itself. My reader can make a one-to-one connection between those things. They don't have to translate. Same thing for the second example. All right. Tables. Well, questions about figures before we move on. Okay. Tables. I'm going to keep stressing this. Once a table is inserted in your document, make sure that the font in that table is at least as big as the body text of your document. Table numbers and captions go above the table. All right. So a table would look something like this. All right. Table number and some descriptive caption for the table. Okay. Like figures, you number and include these in the order they're referenced in the text. So the first table you talk about is table 1. Even if it comes after figure 4, it's still table 1 because it's the first table. So the numbering is figures and numbers have their own counters. So table 1 is table 1. All right. You want to reference kind of like you do with figures. And you want to avoid, like we talked about for the drawings, don't just do a screenshot of your Excel workbook and have squiggly red lines everywhere because their spelling's wrong and things like that, and try to jam it into a Word document. Okay. It's going to look terrible, because it's going to have all the squiggly lines and stuff, but also what's going to happen is that Word's going to try to compress that for you. So here's an example. And here's what probably was an okay specification sheet when it was within Excel. They got smashed into this Word document, and then if I try to actually read it, one, it's smaller. The text here is smaller than that, so that's one mistake. But if I actually try to even zoom into the thing and read it, it's all blurry. Right? When I put that screenshot into Word, it compressed it some more so the Word document doesn't get too big, and now it's I can't read it, right? And you can see even we have house of quality is even worse in that case. So basically, the house of quality, it may have been okay when it was in Excel. It's been screenshotted and pasted in a Word, and Word did its thing compressing it, and now we can't read it. Okay, so avoid using screenshots. Right? What you can do with an Excel, you can copy as an image or that kind of thing. So there's a whole list of copy as there, rather than doing a screenshot. Right? So highlight the cells. You also can export the document in a variety of ways. If you need help with that, let us know. All right, avoid screenshots. Okay. Make sure that if you are using a figure or a plot that you did not generate yourself, and we'll talk about this in a lot more detail for the next 5 minutes after this, that you cite where you got it from. Okay, so if you have a picture of the Eiffel Tower in your tower report, and this was our inspiration for the design, you better be referencing where you got that picture from. Okay, so here's a picture that I've referenced, myself in this case, but referenced where I got the figure from. All right, make sure you do that. If you're getting a figure from somewhere you didn't generate yourself, you need to reference where you got it from. So that brings up the question, where do I include all these figures and tables? Well, you really have two options for most reports. You can include them in line with text. In most really professional documents, that's the way you're going to do it. Stuff I write, that's what we do, right? So if you're including them kind of in line with the text, so I'm writing about the thing and then figure one comes up and I want figure one, the figure, to be as close to that reference as I can. But generally, you're going to push the figures and tables to the top or bottom of the column in which they appear. Okay, so for what you're going to do in here, you have one column of text per page. So that means your figures, if you include them in line with your document, they're going to be at the top or bottom of the page. Right? You don't want to have a little sliver of text and then a figure and then a little sliver of text and then a figure. You want all the figures at the top and then a block of text. Okay? You want them to appear as close to the reference text as possible. All right, so if you reference figure one on page one, you want the figure one to be inserted as close as you can to where it's referenced within the document. You also have the option for this class, and depending on your company, maybe in your company as well, we'll actually see later patents are done this way, where the figures are kept completely separate from the actual document. So you can put them in this case, all of them at the end of the report. That's okay with us. All right? And if you're using Word, that's probably the easier way to go. All right? But you still need to make sure that if you're placing them at the end of the document, that they are still attached or included and numbered in the order that they're referenced in the text. So the first figure I get to after your the written part of your document is done, better be figure one. Or table one, if table one came before figure one. Right? If table one is the next thing I get to after figure one, it better be the next page that's included at the end. Right? So they still need to be attached and numbered in order in reference in the text. Okay? And you don't need a section title here. Right? So it doesn't need to be labeled appendix figures or anything like that. Just include them. The other thing that a few teams did last semester, you don't need to have all the figures and then all the tables. Just include them as they come up in the text. That's where they get inserted at the end, that same order. Right? And the idea is that we're reading your document. We could have your document open, maybe unstaple it and have the figures over here. And as we're reading the document, we're just flipping through the figures in the same order. Right? One thing about this, you have these two styles to choose from. Pick one and go with it. Right? Don't mix the two. Don't have some figures in line, some at the end. Right? That kind of goes towards, you're making your reader's job harder than it has to be if you're mixing those two styles.